Batson again under center. First and 10. Reverse, left side to Bates. Bates has some blockers to the 20, to the 15, to the 10, to the 5, and the freshman is into the end zone. A 21-yard touchdown run on the reverse for Cam Bates. His first collegiate touchdown. Cut fourth under center. Gives the ball to Riley. Riley around right in. Plenty of running room. 45, 50, 40, 30. Sprinting, high stepping, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Dylan Riley. That's going to be 66 yards for the score.
The Boise State football team blows out Portland State in front of a sold-out crowd in their home opener. Welcome into the sports bar. Jay Tuss alongside Shane Williams-Rhodes, the former Boise State wide receiver, and man, offense galore for the Broncos against Portland State. 56 points in a 42-point win. They've now played three games, Shane. They have scored 56 points in two of them.
Yeah, we're kind of getting back to those old days. It's just not as conventional as it used to be. I guess it's more conventional, I guess, because we're running the ball and getting it. And we used to throw the ball and get it.
So. Yeah. I feel like if you go back, though, like, not necessarily your era, because your era was kind of the era where they started to sling the ball around the yard a little bit. But, like, if you go back to, like, the heart and soul of when Chris Peterson built this thing, man, like, it's not like Jared Zabransky was averaging 300 yards passing per game. I mean, they were a physical team that played defense and ran the football. And so I feel like you got Dirk Cutter back in charge of the offense, and that's kind of what this team has been all about. But, you know, they did what they were supposed to do against an FCS team. They went out there. They got tuned up for a big Washington State game that looms this week. We're going to get into that. We're going to get into a few storylines from the Portland State game. One of my favorites is Marco Notriani, the starting middle linebacker on this team. He's kind of earned the right to not play special teams, but after seeing what happened at Oregon, he was like, no, I want to be on kickoff. They rested Ashton Genty in the second half, and well, the stable's deeper than maybe anybody thought, because another true freshman has a big game and earns all Mountain West honors. Finally, we'll get into John Mateer, who apparently reminds some Boise State coaches of another Johnny that might have won a Heisman Trophy about a decade ago. So much to get to here on this edition of the Sports Bar. But we get with the Portland State game, and, you know, Boise State got out of that everything they needed to. They got up big, and they started substituting early and often. Ashton Genty only had 11 carries, didn't play at all in the second half, and they still got a very convincing victory where they also were able to kind of get things going a little bit in the pass game with Maddox Mattson. He was an efficient 13 of 18 for 188 yards, three touchdowns, a career high. Cam Camper couldn't have been any more efficient. Two catches, 70 yards, two touchdowns. I think Cam is really close to stepping into the wide receiver one role. Like, I mean, like, personally, I think he already has, but, like, I think that everybody's really going to start to understand this in the very, very near future.
He's been consistent every time we needed a big play or, you know, take the shot. He seemed like he's always open. Mm-hmm. So I think, yeah, we know last week we said maybe it would have been, you know, Capel stepping into that role, but it seems like every week there's no up and down with him. You're going to get something out of him every week. You're getting production. I think overall, it was just a great call to game. Like the way we went out, we did things we don't normally do to see how well we can do them. So when we get to Washington State next week, it's not our first time trying new things, you know, with not leaning on the run game so hard.
Yeah, when it comes to that matchup, I think there's a chance that that is where they find a lot of success against this Washington State defense. But, you know, Cam Camper is such like an interesting individual to me, because he's been in the college game for a while, but honestly, we just don't know him that well. Like, we're learning him, and you can even see that he's becoming more comfortable, in my opinion. But, like, have you ever been so mad about something that happened earlier in the game that later when you scored a touchdown, you were like, no, I'm not smiling. I'm refusing to smile. I'm just back to even at this point. If I get another one, then I'll smile. You ever been in that situation at all?
Me personally, no, but I have had teammates, yes.
Who? You know,
Chaz Anderson is for sure one
Chaz?
Of those. Oh, yeah.
Come on, Chaz has a great smile.
Yeah.
Really?
You can kind of get under his skin a little bit, you know.
Okay.
For sure.
Kind of surprises me out of Chaz. Okay, the story, though, and if you watch the game and they show a tight shot of Cam Camper after he scores his first touchdown, he's not smiling one iota, right? And so after the game, I asked Maddox Mattson. I'm like, Maddox, you throw him a touchdown. Maddox, by the way, this is actually kind of a cool story. So apparently Cam might be having some car trouble right now. Any of the NIL people out there that want to work with a gifted wide receiver, go ahead and reach out to him. But he's having some car trouble right now. And so Maddox Mattson, like, picks him up every morning, goes to practice, goes to school, whatever. And so they've gotten to know each other pretty well. So apparently it was a drive or two before Cam had a drop. And he was still so mad about that drop that he was just like, nah, I'm not smiling after the touchdown. So Maddox was like, hey, come on, man. Like, let's just, you're fine.
Yeah.
And so after a second touchdown, he finally lets go. We get a little celebration, and it was all good after that.
Yeah, that's tough. I don't know.
It's
got to be next play mentality.
I agree. It just shows you. I just think it's like, it's a little glimpse into a window of how, like, intense and detailed-oriented Cam Camper is, and it's why he can win one-on-one battles, and it's why he's one of the best wide receivers at getting open on the Boise State football team right now. So I'm really looking forward to his continued growth. Now, on the opposite end of that spectrum, a young guy named Cam Bates had his biggest play as a Bronco this last week.
Yeah.
And, you know, talking with Dirk Cutter a little bit, like, you know, kind of observing some things over the last few weeks, you could kind of tell this is a play that they probably wanted to get to. Mm-hmm. And so I was just kind of asking Dirk about it a little bit, and he elaborated, and he said, yeah, it's been a call we've wanted to get to for a couple of weeks, that high red zone call. Hadn't necessarily got the opportunity to do it, never thought they'd get to it on, like, the third mm-hmm. play of the game.
Yeah.
But they dial up an end around to Cam Bates where they go play action into the boundary to Ashton Jeanty, and of course everybody thinks the ball is going to Ashton Jeanty. Kid comes back around, scores on a 20-yard touchdown.
Yeah, when you have a dominant running back, reverses tend to be there from experience, I'm speaking. that kid is really fast.
Yeah.
I actually had someone, I was watching the game, I don't know what kid, I was with some kids, and one of the kids said, oh, yeah, that guy has 98 speed on NCAA.
That is hilarious.
The kids know who he is. You know, I don't know much, but I didn't know he was as fast as he is.
Yeah, he can scoot a little bit.
That was a little interesting for me.
Dude, so you played so early in your career, Shane, and when Cam gets on the field right now, talking about Cameron Bates, not Camper, when he gets on the field right now, like, he knows, I mean, I think his role is going to grow here, but when you're so young, you know you're not going to have to worry about playing 60 offensive snaps. You're going to probably have 8, but you better be dialed for the 8.
Yep, and you probably have the ball 2 or 3 out of those.
Yeah. So, but what is that, like, anticipation and anxiety almost like? As you know, you only got 8 plays out of, like I said, probably 70 or 80 of that's going to be called in the game, probably 75, 70. And you're just kind of just waiting there? Like, how's that communication go, too? Like, do the coaches say, hey, next drive, we get this scenario, like, be ready for this?
It's tough because, like, some people look at it differently. So there are some people who are like, okay, I'm going to play 8 plays and I'm going to get the ball 4 to 5 times when I get in the game. So I'll have 4 to 5 catches and I'll only play 8 plays. And then there's guys who play every down, and they get 2 or 3 catches.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's all about perspective. That's how I was. When I got in, I was like, well, I'm going to have, like, 4 catches, you know, or a rush or two, and I'll get the ball 6 times. There's guys who just play every down, and they didn't even touch the ball tonight. So I'm like, it works for me.
Who's jealous of who in that situation? Like,
you know, which one would you rather be in?
Yeah.
You got a chance to have more opportunities because you're in the game more, but – when you get in the game on those 8 plays, you are in the scheme. Mm-hmm. Like, you're a part of the concept. So you kind of gotta look at it like that.
Yeah.
Because I'd take that any day.
Yeah. Well, there was another funny thing that happened on this play. And, you know, that when you look at how, you know, it was probably kind of designed, Bates was supposed to probably bump to the outside. I had a chance to kind of set up his lineman with maybe a little stutter step in, get outside, probably could have walked into the end zone. He made it just a little more interesting. I'll let Dirk Cutter break it down.
He's got really good speed, and he can change directions fast. Yeah, he was not supposed to take it all the way back across the green like that, but it worked out. It worked out pretty good. Yeah, we've been working on that for a couple weeks. Didn't really know it was going to happen the third play of the game. We had it as a high red zone call. Didn't know it was going to happen that quick, and, you know, it just came off the board quick, and, you know, that was kind of fell into it. But it was a really nice play by him and well blocked.
Bates is clearly ready for the moment. I mean, he proved that, right? But, like, when you're still so young, the game moves so fast. And so you come around and you're probably just like, how can I get to the freaking end zone?
Yep.
And so, like, I don't know. Have you ever had kind of just like a little moment like that, Shane?
Yeah, I think when I was my freshman year and I was feel like I was three games in. I hadn't scored yet. And I was like, I got to find a way to score. So, yeah, literally, if you go back to, like, my first touchdown, I was going to do the same thing. I caught a screen all the way on the left. I was going to run all the way across the field because I thought I saw a little, you know, a little hole. But then as I go to catch the ball, I can see the guy just coming downhill and then put the foot in the ground, do a spin, and then I find it. But, yeah, you're just trying to find ways. And coming from high school, you're so used to being able to just reverse
field. Hold up. Was that New Mexico?
New Mexico.
I was on the sideline for that. Like, I was like, you're literally right there for that.
You're just so used to being faster than everybody.
Yeah.
You can catch it and just go. So
for the record, you were still faster than everybody on that play.
Well, yeah, I went outside, though. He actually went against the grain and had to go through about 6-7 people to get there. You got to have some speed.
New Mexico at New Mexico 2013 is actually the last Boise State football game we were able to broadcast here on Channel 7. Media rights deals have kind of shot our abilities to do that. So Cam's role is going to grow, both of them for that matter. Cam Bates, Camper, and I really liked what they've seen. So now you talk about some of those individuals that are on the field for like a majority of the offensive plays, and they only might get a couple of touches. Through the first couple of games, that was Matt Louder, the Boise State tight end. And it wasn't for a lack of effort. Like, they were trying to draw some stuff up to him, but the ball just couldn't find him.
Yeah.
Well, coming out against Portland State, they were going to make sure that that ball found him.
He got it a 10.
Yeah. 7 catches, 91 yards. And I felt like I was talking to you after this because, I mean, you were so good after the catch. And I know that at times, like, you know, you even knew that, gosh, I was one step away from it, you know, being even more than that. But Matt Louder, who, I mean, for a tight end, man, he can boogie a little bit. He had 91 yards, and this week he told us I should have 160.
Yeah, those eat at you when you're like, I know I could have stayed up, and you'd fall down, and I know I should have made this move and make that. Yeah. Those are the ones that get you.
I personally think he's being a little hard on himself, but that's such an impressive stat line for a tight end. Like, 91 yards itself is impressive for anybody that's catching passes.
I'll take that on my fantasy team any week.
Right? Oh, especially as your tight end. Are you kidding me? 7 catches. I'm going to try to quiz you here. When is the last time? You can just kind of ballpark it here. You don't even have to tell me who. When is the last time a Boise State tight end had 7 catches, had more than 7 catches in a football game?
In a game?
Yeah.
I have 2 people that pop right in my head.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the first one. It's got to be Shoe. Is it Shoemaker? No, is it after Shoemaker?
Oh, before.
What is that? We're going back past 2008 then.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Now we're really going to test the depths of your knowledge because I don't even know Boise State was even on Shane Williams Rhodes' radar when this happened.
I was in middle school.
How old were you, or what grade were you in when you were watching the 2007 Fiesta Bowl, the first Fiesta Bowl?
I was in 7th grade.
Yeah.
I went to the next Fiesta Bowl.
In
the 9th grade. So no, I was in 6th grade.
Okay. Little ways away, though, for you. And then he played in the third Fiesta Bowl.
I watched the first one. I went to the second one and played in the third one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So Derek Schuman in the first Fiesta Bowl had 7 catches, 82 yards.
Schuman,
against. Yeah.
And I was on Shoemaker.
Yeah, I know. That's why I think you were going there. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right there.
But no, Shoemaker's never had 7 in that game.
So she was technically a wide receiver.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I feel like.
With that in mind, though, man, it has been a while. I mean, Boise State's put some tight ends in the NFL. Jake Rowe, I was like, oh, it's got to be Jake Rowe. Jake Rowe had some really big seasons for a tight end. 7's a lot. It gives you perspective, man. 7 is a lot of catches in a football game.
I don't think I had over 7 catches in a game more than 5 times.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say you never did that.
It's only been a few times.
You had like 13 at Utah State 1 year. I know that.
Yeah, it's only been a few times you had those kind of games. That's a lot of catches.
That's a lot of catches. But I only think that his role is gonna grow as well. Like, to see what he was able to do in that game, man. Like, I've been willing to drive the Matt Louder hype train for a little while now because I felt like this was coming. Seeing what he was able to do during fall camp, and even back in the spring, man. Like, it just felt like something big is gonna happen there, and. You know, we try to break down. I talk with Kekala Kaneo, former Boise State player, every week. And we try to break down a play, and it always seems like we're breaking down a run play with this team. And it always seems like Matt Louder is involved in that run play.
Yeah.
He's such a two-way threat, whether it be blocking or catching the football.
Yeah, it's kind of just how Bates was.
You know,
we're getting right back to it. for the tight ends.
Yeah, I hope that they continue to use him, and I think they will. I kind of wonder, you know, this week if this is the week to do it, just because, as I'll get to in a little bit, there are some things that Washington State struggled against the ground game. So I don't know if this is a week where you necessarily emphasize, you know, trying to get Matt Lauder the ball a ton. I'm looking this up, by the way. Sorry, I'm trying to work here on the fly. Do you know how many times you had 7 catches in a football game? I'm blocking this.
7 or more, or so you, 7 so, or, so apparently, or 7?
So apparently you played in 47 games. You say you didn't.
You say you didn't
do it a ton. How many times did you have 7 or more catches in a football game?
Probably 40 out of 47 games.
Out of 47 games.
Probably 5.
10.
It didn't seem like it. No.
And about 20% of the college football games you played in, a little more than that, you had 7 or more catches. That's a big reason why. You added up at the end here, and you had, I call you Mr. 233, second most in Boise State history. So kind of a big deal right there. But, yeah, you shortchanged yourself. And actually, you had at least 5 catches in well over half of your games. So you're pretty good at this football thing, man.
It's a long time ago.
Does it feel like a long time ago?
The fact that I didn't know that it was that many games.
What year did you play? No, I'm just kidding. I'm messing
with
you.
Seems like we're getting a little old here.
Yeah. So the other part, like the storyline, you know, defense played pretty well. Give up that second drive is probably when they want to forget about it, that game where they give up the touchdown to Portland State. They did bounce back with 2 blocked kicks. Now, I wasn't I love the effort, and Mike Callahan and Sheldon Newton, they both have block kicks in the stat column, right? His kicks were a little low.
Yeah, you could tell Portland State had a few guys missing this week during practice and just were sticking
to it. Yeah, so, whatever. Either way, they got a couple of block kicks and kept the point total down, and Boise State, all in all, I'm fine with the way they played on defense this last week. Yeah.
It was. I'll take it after the last few games.
Yeah, I think the best thing though out of all of this, you get a 42-point victory, and you and Ashton Gentry only has to play one half of football for you. You get him 11 carries,
no touchdown,
no touchdowns.
That could hurt our Heisman campaign, though.
Are we worried about that?
I mean, we obviously know that. I mean, we're gonna give it.
Yeah,
to
we.
A
I guess we can be, but
we obviously know that he can do what he did every week, and they're not gonna give him the Heisman.
Yeah,
it's a quarterback award, you know.
I'll say this. I'm not gonna count out Ashton Gentry. I just worry once they get to the end of this thing, and I don't have a vote. You don't have a vote.
You're not at a top 5 school. And have those stats, it's tough for running back to
do. Yeah. I think his best way, though, is I hope what happens is, you know, they win this weekend, they run the table from here on out, and he's just playing great football, and he's just like that trendy new, who is this guy? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, even when Johnny Manziel won it, like, nobody knew who the hell he was at the beginning of that year, and then everybody's kind of fell in love with him and the way that he played. Like, I kind of hope, that's why it's so hard to win it twice. Like, you just kind of get bored with greatness and so hopefully that happens for him. But either way, he only gets 11 carries, gets 127 yards, and then you just kind of get him out of the game, and he is just he gets to just chill for the second half.
I think that was the smartest thing we did out of everything. I hate that by pulling him, our backup gets injured, but I will say, if we would have kept him in the game, that could have possibly been him.
Dude,
it's not a great situation for us to be in.
Yeah.
So
there was a play in this game, and you know it was actually so Saier kind of gets he gets injured on kind of that hip drop tackle where I asked Spencer Danielson about this, and I guess it technically the way that it was executed, it was not an illegal tackle, but I still think it's a dangerous tackle. And you could see the kind of the DB go up high. He kind of grabs the shoulder pad, and then he just drops his weight to bring Saier down, falls on Sire's ankle. And, well, then we saw Saier on crutches. But, like, there is a play for Ashton Gentry, and it was actually his last run of the game. And I think it was probably more coincidental than anything. But
that's probably why he did not have it.
If you watch it, and I'm going to pull it up so you can watch this here. But it's the same defender, and Ashton Gentry is going lateral down the line of scrimmage, and you can see number 3 come up, and he attacks the shoulder pad, and if it's not for a nasty Ashton Gentry stiff arm right there, like there's a chance he does the exact same thing to Ashton Gentry, right? And so I think that's just probably a coincidence. I asked about it, wasn't really acknowledged. But it wasn't for an Ashton Jeanty stiff arm to that same defender going up at that shoulder pad. You know, I don't want to think about what could have happened to him on a dangerous potential tackle.
That hip drop tackle is just so, it's hard. Mm-hmm. It's hard to tell someone, go tackle Ashton Jeanty.
Yeah, I know. And yeah, you're
and
so right.
And when you get there, use just your upper body and he already has leverage on you, right? Because he's under you. And try to get him to the ground.
He squats 600. He benches 400. He's 5'8", 215. His center of gravity is so low. If you go with his legs, he's going to hurdle you. If you go with his shoulder pads or go high, he's going to probably run you over. So it's just
you can't grab him and drop your weight. Yeah. Like, it's how you
going to take him down? So you hang on for dear life, right?
It's tough.
And I'm not trying to suggest anything bad too about that Portland State player. He was involved in both those plays, but. That's just a tough situation. You got to be careful. And so now he's well rested and ready to go. And I personally like how they've kind of calibrated things with Ashton. I think calibrated is the word to use because you see against Georgia Southern, I mean, every time the guy touches the ball, he's like running to the end zone. Had 6 touchdowns on 20 carries, 267 yards. But once Boise State got up, you know, like multiple scores kind of in the fourth quarter, they let the kid, Sire Gaines, kind of tote the rock a few times.
He's only played 9 quarters.
And it worked out, yeah. Against Oregon, different story. Dude's on the field for almost 90% of the offensive snaps. Now, as a running back to be on the field 90% of the offensive snaps at the college level, that's a lot.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's what, like, you look at this weekend's game. That's why, like, I think if they get into a fist fight with Washington State and this thing goes into the fourth quarter, Ashton Jeanty's going to be there.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think you use him. When we have to ride him, we have to ride him. Like, but if it's a 36-carry game, it has to be 36
carries. Yeah, but he can do that. I mean, he had 25 versus Oregon. It seemed like he could have had more. 192 yards against Oregon, 3 touchdowns. He's still second in the country in rushing yards, total rushing yards. He's got like a 20-yard lead in rushing yards per game.
He's number one, just curious.
Kid out of Iowa that's having a pretty darn good year. He's been really, really solid for –
see some Hawkeyes on Twitter making some noise.
Yeah. Ashton's better. It's not even close, to be honest with you.
Yeah, they were making some noise about who the best running back in the country
is. But, like, I think that, like, when we talk about, you know, quote-unquote calibrating Ashton Jeanty and his carries and all these things, and they are finding ways to keep him super fresh in not even just, like, game-to-game, but within the game. And, I mean, I always like this. You look at what he's doing right now in the fourth quarter, and I remind you, he didn't even play in the fourth quarter.
2 games.
Yeah, he's got 9 carries for 189 yards, 21 yards per carry in the fourth quarter.
So in one fourth quarter?
No, the whole season.
The whole season, he only played one fourth quarter, right?
No, he's played Oregon, and he did get touches in the fourth quarter against Georgia Southern.
Oh, he got
but just
you.
Like, but just like most of that fourth quarter went
I
to Sire.
You, I got you. Okay.
But either way, those are pretty good numbers.
Yeah.
Right? So they're finding ways to still keep him fresh. And, you know, I did see some fans arguing a little bit about, or they're just not even arguing, just they're just opinionated about his Heisman campaign. Man, I love this, and I don't think that it's like a goal to come back and win the Heisman, like totally, right? But I don't think it's necessarily why he came back. Like if you really wanted to get down to it, like he wants to come back, win football games, go to a college football playoff, and put himself in a position to go to the NFL draft, and that's where he gets paid, right? And so like the Heisman could potentially just be a byproduct of those things aligning, right?
Yeah.
And more than anything, the priority is keeping this kid healthy. And so I'm not worried. Yeah, it would be great if he scores on a 1-yard touchdown over, you know, having a QB sneak.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, I'm just fine with him not having that carry, too.
Just one less hit.
Yeah. I mean, if we're talking Oregon, Washington State, Oregon State, Fresno State, San Diego State, like one of these big rivalry games somewhere along the way, then, yeah, we can talk. But if it's a blowout victory over Portland State, I'm just not worried about it.
My expectations is I don't think that it's 100%. I don't know. I think it's like 90% chance because we watched Kellen go 50-3 and not get Heisman.
Yeah.
So, it's tough.
I hear you on that one. And he was a quarterback. But I mean, so with all this being said, as Boise State looks ahead, man, I know this is my alma mater that they're playing, and I know that it's a team that I've covered now. This is my 14th season covering the Boise State football team. For those that are keeping track at home, I have covered the Boise State football team about four times as long as I lived in Pullman. So I might be, you might think I'm biased in saying this, but I think that when we want to talk about the purity of college football, this might be the matchup of the week in college football.
I think
you got two teams fighting like hell to stay relevant. They are trying to be the threads that hold college football together right now as it continues to just be ripped apart by NIL and realignment and the transfer portal and money, right? And these two schools are trying to remain relevant while all the odds are stacked against them. Washington State's 4-0, Boise State's 2-1, ranked in the top 25 for the first time since 2020. Oof. You have both coaches that almost they really mimic each other in terms of their character. Jake Dickert, Spencer Danielson, if we know anything about these dudes, you know what it is? They love their players. Mm-hmm. They're going to treat their players with love and passion and all that stuff. And so I think personally that, you know, whether it be a game day or a big noon kickoff, I think it was a massive missed opportunity. I do. I think that if you want to get down to the heart and soul of who is being affected right now by what is going on in college football and who is fighting for it, these two teams above maybe any outside of Oregon State are the two teams that are fighting like hell right now.
Yeah, for sure. We need more viewership. We need all of that. So
I would expect eyes to be on this game. And I just don't know who in the right mind would be like, hey, we got Boise State and Washington State, or we got Oregon and UCLA in the Rose Bowl, which will be, I don't know, a third full. I don't know. There's a lot of Duck fans in the country now, probably down in LA, so they might help fill that thing out. But you know, it's going to be empty. UCLA is going to get throttled. But it is the Big Ten opener.
Not gonna be pretty.
Whatever.
It's not gonna be pretty.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm really excited about this game on the blue. Sold out crowd. It's gonna be awesome. And man, people have asked me this week, Shane, about when was the last time there was a game of this magnitude on the blue? And I think there's only one. I think it was when Chris Peterson came back.
That was a big one.
Yeah, I mean, because they've had sellouts before. They've had a number of them. But, like, usually those are, like, late in the day, final pushes, like, a couple hours before kickoff. Yay, we sold it out.
Yeah.
This has been sold out for 2 weeks. There's an actual secondary market, a resale market for tickets, which I don't know if you've seen, man, but there's quite the markup on these things.
I've heard.
When is the last time?
I've had people text me, do you have extra tickets to the game?
Well, Shane gets 233 tickets to every game, one for every catch he had. So don't let him tell you any different out there.
They're asking for tickets, and then they're like, yeah, because these resale tickets are like going to an NFL game.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy.
And then you got, some of those websites too, you got to pay crazy ticket fees and all that stuff. But I think another reason why you want to watch this game, you know, they're not Heisman front runners, although Ashton Jeanthi is doing everything he can, and Robert Griffin III's got the only relevant Heisman power rankings, in my opinion, because he's got Ashton in his top spot right now.
Yes.
But John Mateer, he appears on the on a lot of Vegas boards this week. Now he has odds to win the Heisman. Mm-hmm. Ashton Jeanthi, John Mateer, there are just so many cool, compelling storylines to this game that I. As just a simple college football fan, it is going to be an awesome night at Albertson Stadium on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, we got to be physical. He's going to run through
our face. I agree. So let's get into this now, because John Mateer, I know that there's going to be some people listening or watching this that are like, come on, Jay, you kidding me, man? But if you want to look at his stats and compare them to another certain John Knee from the 2013 season, Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel. Okay, when he won the Heisman, Shane, his first four games of that season, he lost the first game of that season to Florida. First four games of that season, 1,094 passing yards, 366 rushing yards. John Mateer, 1,102 passing yards, 425 rushing yards. Yeah. Touchdowns? Johnny Football, 10 passing, 6 rushing. John Mateer, 11 passing, 5 rushing. So the total matches each other. I mean, it's just like here, Johnny Football was insane, okay?
Yeah.
But like, just for like the comparison and to be a little dramatic, like, I think it gives you a little perspective of what John Mateer's doing right now for the Washington State Cougars.
For anyone who's not a believer, I just ask you to go watch the second half of the San Jose State game when they're down 14 with 6 minutes left to go, and just watch when he takes off and he runs. Like, he's running down the sideline, and he's not running out of bounds.
Yep.
He's running through people, cutting back inside, then running through another person, then getting back outside and sideline. Like, it's – we got to tackle.
Yeah.
He's coming at you.
Going to have to. Every coach that I talked to this week about John Mateer, they all were quick to bring up the fact that he's 220 bills. And that – I mean, so you better bring a lunch if you want. You know, if you're gonna tackle this guy, like, you're not gonna get away like with most quarterbacks swiping a leg or something like that. And just to show you, I'm not crazy though. And I wanted to ask this question. I didn't ask this question, but Boise State safeties coach Tyler Stockton, he also agrees about the John and Johnny comparison.
It's funny because his name is John, and he reminds me of Johnny Football. So I'm going to give him his new nickname right now, Johnny Football 2.0. Top 15 in rushing, top 15 in passing. He's number 3 overall in total offense. So we got to do a great job in coverage, but then we also got to do a great job with him in the quarterback run game. So it's 11 on 11. So it's like we're really playing basketball on grass. Normally you have not a dual threat quarterback that you don't have to count for a lot. If he's dropping back, he's going to throw it. And then if he doesn't, he might get sacked. This guy is 11 on 11, and he's one of the best players in the country. So I'm fired up for Bronco Nation to make it as loud as possible to help us out on defense. Hopefully we got 12 people on the field at all times, counting the crowd.
To look at his stats right now, John Mateer is 14th in the FBS in rushing, 15th in the FBS in passing yards. He averages 9.5 passing yards per pass play, 7.5 yards per rush play. So he's got some explosiveness to him.
He's a walking first down.
just about, yeah. Right? Yeah. On top of that, I want to throw another little comparison at you. Let's go scramble yards, right?
Yeah,
number 1 in college football. There was another guy here, wore the number 10 as well, played on the blue last year, Taylen Green. You know, second to Mateer in scramble rushing yards this year, Taylen Green over at Arkansas. One behind Mateer.
So that tells you guys
out
there how dynamic he is.
So this is the head of the snake. This is the guy that Boise State has to find a way to shut down and contain. And it's way easier said than done, because I think over the first couple of games, especially like Apple Cup, right? They wanted to make him throw the ball to beat them. Guess what he did a couple of times? Threw the ball to beat them. Used his legs as well. Had a huge run at the end of the first half to really swing momentum back in their favor. But he's also proven effective that he's got some arm slots. He's got a pretty good fastball. You could tell there's some concern amongst the Boise State coaches because, I mean, in all honesty, Shane, they got a couple of good receivers, Kyle Williams and stuff like that. But, like, when we talk about Washington State, there is really only one player whose name that's came up. Time and time again.
As it should. I think this is the best quarterback left on our schedule. You know, pending we make a playoff, this is the hardest quarterback we're going to face all year.
Yeah.
You look ahead of the schedule, there's no other quarterbacks this dominant. And they don't have the ability to control the game as far as like the way he does.
Yeah, I think, I think you go back and you look at like a Dillon Gabriel, clearly a gifted passer. But Dillon is in his final year of college, and I think one of the best quarterbacks in the country. Like, I could be so far off.
I think a lot of Dillon Gabriel is not that good
for
people. It's crazy because if you actually look it up, efficiency wise, he's number one in the country.
Yeah, okay, he's good. No,
it's really weird.
But what I was gonna say is that, you know, when it comes to him as a runner, like, he had one rushing touchdown. It was on a read option, wide open. He walked into the end zone. Outside of that, like, he didn't seem, like, super eager to run against Boise State.
He He's definitely pass first.
You know, so then on the flip side of that, you look at John Mateer, and I think Boise State hit Dylan a couple times in that game, and he was like, I'm good. Yeah. I don't want to run. John Mateer, though, he's like the young guy on the up and up, and he's like, no, let's roll the dice. Spin the chamber, Boris. Like, let's get after it, you know? Yeah. So that's the difference between those two. But I think that Mateer is going to be a little more difficult to stop than overall than even Dylan Gabriel was.
Like you said, it helps having that 220 behind you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's a big guy.
I think that it's going to be an offensive shootout.
I agree.
I think that when you look at – I posted this on my Instagram because I was a little bored earlier this week, and I wanted to give a little perspective on how good some of these numbers are. Boise State is doing everything that they want to do on offense, and it's adding up in points and yards. They are first in the country in plays of 50 or more yards with 7. Mm-hmm. They have scored on 100% of their red zone opportunities, tied for first in the country. They're rushing for 311.3 yards per game. That's third in the country. Third down conversion percentage, 57.5%. That's tied for fifth best in the country. We continue to go here. Red zone TD percentage, almost 87%. That's insane. Sixth in the country. Sacks allowed, only 2. Turnovers, or giveaways, I guess, only 2. Both those are top 10 in the country. And what's that adding up? 543 yards per game, that's 6th best in the country, and 48.7 points per game, that's 7th best in the country. I just think that when it comes to the ground game, I think Washington State's going to have a tough time with Boise State. And I think that they do all of these little things, like not turn the ball over, not give up sacks. Mm-hmm. They do all these little things that are really going to help them win.
Yeah. I'm just, you know, I had to take a peek and see what these over-unders were looking like, and it says 63.
Yeah.
I don't think that's enough.
Oh, I don't think it's enough either. I am terrible at it, so never take my gambling advice if that's what you choose to do in your free time. But I do not think that the under of this game is going to be 63, which means it's going to be like 21-20.
They have on here the projection is 27-33, and I don't see any way we hold him to 27 points.
I think that would be – if they do, we celebrate.
I also don't see any way we only score 33.
I agree with that too.
Especially I think
Ashton Jennings is going to be ready to roll this weekend.
I'm looking at 38-45.
I think
7-point game must.
Yeah, I think it's going to be electric. I think there's going to be offense, and that's the way that it goes. I think it's going to come down to the red zone, and when you look at it, Boise State's one of the most effective rushing teams in the red zone in the country, and Washington State is one of the worst in those areas. They will have a tough time stopping the run. They will have, like, Boise State's offensive line has been doing some serious damage, and Ashton Genty has been capitalizing off that. So I think that I think Boise State wins this game, man.
38-45.
I think it's awesome.
Pound the over.
I'm not going to give one because I think that's a great guess. I think at halftime it's going to be – I think at halftime you're sitting like 31-24 and you're like, oh, my gosh, it's going to be 60 to win this game. And it'll slow down just a little bit in the second half. Yeah. But I think that it's going to be a shootout, and I think Washington State just can't – they won't have enough answers to slow down.
I think it's going to be the opposite. I think Washington State's going to come on the blue. And they're going to be a little rattled, I think.
Okay.
They have a lot of noise. Okay. I think they're going to start slow.
Okay.
And I think, obviously, we're going to, you know, run it. I think they'll pick it up towards the end of the game because now they're in pass situations, and that's where they're comfortable.
Okay.
Just throwing the ball and extending the game, incompletes, make the game longer. And I think that's what we're going to run into.
Okay.
Us trying to hold on at the end.
I could see. I mean, I could, yeah. Gonna, I could see. Just,
if they go 3 and out, they took 10 seconds off the clock. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so I think. Yeah, they're gonna extend the game.
Oh man, I'm picturing it now. Prevent defense late. Mateer just kind of just having his way, getting down the field, and all of a sudden
that's what I'm thinking.
It's gonna make Bronco Nation kind of sweat this one out a little bit.
They're gonna start slow, and then they're gonna come on. He's gonna start taking off, and yeah.
This will be one of the best games in college football this weekend, and it sucks that it's not gonna get the recognition that it deserves before kickoff. But it should have everybody buzzing after kickoff, despite the fact it's a late game, whatever. Watch Bronco Roundup game day. We actually got kind of a special setup this week. Channel 7 is just packed with sports programming on Saturday. So our pregame show is actually Friday night on 7 from 6 to 7. And then we'll hit you back on the blue an hour before kickoff on KTVB.com as well as KTV Plus, all of our streaming platforms. We'll show you that live look at the blue. Is Sire Gaines going to play? Is Breezy Dubar? I got – got a good feeling about him. He was a game-time decision last week. Okay. Said they'd need him if it was emergency. I think we get to see Breezy Dubar for the first time this season this week, at least if you're reading between the lines of what the coaches are saying. And then, you know, there's other things.
I got one question for you.
What do you got?
If you're Breezy Dubar, do you potentially think about Richard?
You know, I think maybe, but you're going off the perspective of the rules when you played.
Well, he can play four.
Exactly.
So yeah, do you hold off?
I don't think you do it right now. I think you play in the Washington State game while you're without Cyer Gaines. Well, I don't know that, but like, come on, he was on crutches at the end of this thing. Yeah. I don't know. You guys in your darn boots, like, you wear those things around and
you get a boot for anything.
Yeah, you get a boot for anything. I'll remember a time, Tanner Vallejo. We're getting done with interviews, and I see him get out of his car, and I see him throw his boot on the ground out of the car, and he gets out, and he looks up at us, and we're like, hey, puts the boot on, walks into the facility, plays the next day. So oh, yeah. I don't freaking know. But, like, I just think that, like, you let that kind of play out, but I think you can play this Saturday and figure out the games from here on out if you are or aren't.
Yeah.
So, because you basically have, what, three games in, nine games to go. You can play four, sit five. This isn't one you want to sit for. This is not a game you want to sit for. We want to see Breezy do our best.
Exactly. Sit two more times.
Come back, eat. Let's get after it. Well, Shane, as always, we appreciate it, my man.
Appreciate you.
He's Shane Williams Rhodes. I'm Jay Tuss. This is Jay Sports Bar. We leave you with Spencer Danielson sharing his thoughts about the hype behind this matchup between Boise State and Washington State.
It's going to be a phenomenal environment here on the blue. Like I said before, think the world of Washington State staff, think the world of their players, and we know. You know, their quarterback, number 10, is one of the best players in the country as well. It's going to be a big-time matchup. And for Bronco Nation, for college football fans in general, it's a game they're going to want to watch. These are the games that what makes you love about college football. You got a night game on the blue, two good teams, one's undefeated, one's 2-1, going at it. I mean, this is what you love about college football. So at the end of the day, who should be watching? I think if you're a college football fan in general, you're going to see some really good players. You see two teams competing and two teams that are there because they love their teammates and they want to go compete their tail off to win. Knowing that down the road, college football playoff implications, yeah, they're going to have a part of this game. But this game, Saturday night, it's about right now Washington State, and for them, it's about coming to play Boise.